He did give it up.
Back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show, hour two on the radio tonight. Lots of stuff, as I mentioned, has been going on, and I've just gotten some emails here that have to be dealt with. So we've got a busy night here in the old El Pacifico studio. With me is Don Berman from Channel 19 News, and he's over at Channel 19 tonight. We're talking. We were talking about hunting and the interaction, I guess, between hunters and environmentalists and so on and so forth. We're talking with Don about a trip to Dodger Stadium here in Los Angeles, where he saw in the Dodger Club a stuffed polar bear. This was a bear that had been shot by Walter O'Malley, the owner, the late owner of the Dodgers. And he told you the story, huh?
I was talking with Walter, but later on I talked to one of the attendants there who told me that this was, the polar bear was taxidermied, it was a stuffed polar bear. It was standing up on its hind legs.
Well, they posed them, you know.
Well, apparently this polar bear was in the pose that it was in when Walter O'Malley shot it. It was in a full, almost attack pose. It was up on its hind legs. It had its two enormous paws straight up in the air. And I said, was it attacking Mr. O'Malley? And this young man, Ernesto, who was one of the attendants there at the Dodger Club, he said it was eating from a tree. Apparently it was eating berries from a tree when Mr. O'Malley, and again, I think the world of Walter O'Malley and the great legacy that he established, especially for the city of Los Angeles. But when I found out that Walter O'Malley had basically hired a helicopter and stuck up on the animal and used some kind of an automatic weapon.
Wait. This was a polar bear that was eating berries from a tree?
That's my understanding.
And Walter O'Malley shot it from a helicopter with an automatic weapon?
That's my understanding. Now, let me say this. I don't know for sure.
Well, I think we ought to find this out because, you know, the man's not around to defend himself.
All right. I mean, Phil, I was telling you about the polar bear. I've had hunting experiences, too, when I got the call here from this young man, Dickman, and said, you wanted to talk about hunting. And I said, I definitely have hunting stories because I have gone into the wild myself, and I have hunted.
I know, yes, Bud told me that, but I wanted to know about this polar bear.
All right, well, now you know. He machine-gunned it. And
well, okay.
Well, what do you mean, okay?
Walter O'Malley hired a helicopter, flew up behind a bear nibbling berries from a tree, and machine-gunned it.
That's what I remember the kid saying. Look, what about some of the things that I was telling you about?
All right, let's talk about that, because you want to really talk about that, huh?
Oh, do you think I'm afraid because I used a baseball bat? Let me tell you something, Phil. I did not kill baby seals. I'll say it over and over until the day I drop. I didn't kill baby seals.
Okay, fine, but you're hunting with a bat.
I was hunting with a baseball. No, I was not hunting with a bat. I was hunting with a weapon. I was hunting with a 30-06, but I got frustrated. And that's when I went back to the truck and grabbed that bat. Now, you can say what you want, and you can talk all you want, but the fact of the matter was, it was not a baby seal.
All right, so they were quail, is that right?
Yes, they were quail. Oh, you're going to start to tell me now that I'm being,
What I want people to understand is that you went out running out into a field somewhere with a bat.
I didn't go running out. You know what? I might as well just hang up.
Okay, you can hang up if you want, but I just like you, Don, I want to do the accurate story here. I don't want to misreport.
Oh, you don't want to misreport. Okay, Mr. Woodward.
All right, don't look at Don. Don't be a smartass.
No, it's fine, Mr. Bernstein. I didn't know that you were, this is like what, all the president's men of quail hunting?
You said that you went out there with a bat.
Yeah, I didn't go running out there like Jerry Lewis, just, like I've got a like a spasm or something, or whatever you call it.
Y'all got about a spasm.
Yeah, is that what it's called?
No, it's not called that, and I think what you're talking about is a sort of a spastic.
Yes.
That is awfully juvenile of you.
What is?
Talking about running out there like you're spastic.
All right, I apologize to anybody that... I apologize to anybody that's a spastic. Well, all right, I apologize. But what I'm trying to tell you is this. I was out there with Jerry Jekyll. I was there with his son Ron, and I was not only there with Jerry Jekyll and his son Ron. We were there with the Wimsley brothers. We were there with Brad and Sheila Erickson. We were there with the people from Corporate Tires, and they were sponsors. So we had a good 30 people that day, and we were all out to do some quail hunting, and it was a very, very nice day. And I had this gun. They told me was a. I thought it was a 30-06.
30-06 sounds like that's not a quail hunting gun, you know.
Well, what are you all of a sudden? Are you are you Ted Nugent? How do you know? You know.
All I can tell you is you're gonna hunt quail maybe with a shotgun. A 30-06. That's what you're gonna put down a moose with or something, you know.
I better not say, but. And this has nothing to, I'm not trying to say anything, but what was Oswald using?
And why would you bring that up?
Because someone said, and I'm not saying that it's sane, that, well, somebody told me that Oswald might have been aiming for a duck or something, and that it was all a big misunderstanding.
That would be a big misunderstanding.
Whoa. All I'm saying is...
Are you out of your mind?
All I'm saying is that was what one of my sources said.
That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. You want to get that?
Now, hold on for a minute. Hello? Is anybody there?
Okay, Don.
Hold on. Hello? God, I hate this. Yeah, you know what? Hello? Oh, forget it.
Who was it?
It was somebody calling me every name in the book, and I can't stand it. I can never hang up when that happens. I want to talk to them.
You don't know who it is, huh?
Well, it's a female voice.
It's a female voice?
Yeah. And they call every day at this time, just before we do our 11:30, and they always call me every name in the book, and they won't shut up, and they love to... Well, I think they may be watching me. I don't know who they are.
And it's a female voice?
It sounds like someone... It's either a woman or someone doing it. It's not you, because I know I'm talking to you right now.
Yeah, you never know. Mr. Henry could be throwing his voice like a triloquist.
Oh, is that right? Thank you very much. Phil, the only thing I have to say about the guys that help you on your show, are they medically insured, or do you have to pick up that charge? Because I'll bet you that'll ruin you. As soon as you get done figuring out there's nothing in his head, then you got to move on to this young man, Leonard, and then Margaret.
Now watch it there. Watch what you're saying there, Don. You know, we're talking very nicely. You took a baseball bat to quail. Let's get back to the topic.
Yeah, that's the point.
All right, fine. I had a baseball bat in the truck. I came out, I was frustrated, and I beat some of these things.
You know, this is a very interesting story, because where we started was with Walter O'Malley.
Oh, okay. You're going to do the big investigative expose, is that it?
Can I finish? We started with Walter O'Malley. You go into the Dodger Club, and you see this big, giant, stuffed polar bear.
Yes.
All right. Fair enough. And you ask, or you didn't ask Mr. O'Malley, you asked somebody else, how did it happen? And this kid says that Walter O'Malley flew up in a helicopter and machine-gunned the thing from behind while I was eating berries.
That sounds preposterous.
Well, thank you very much, Mrs., Annie, get your gun, but...
Would you have some respect? I don't know you that well, Mr. Berman, for you to start mucking about with me.
I apologize, but Ms. Gray, I think I know a little bit more about it.
Why do you think you know more about it?
Wow.
You know, because you're talking about a man that has long since passed on, Walter O'Malley. He's a beloved man. You're saying that he snuck up on this thing.
Well, how do you sneak up on anything in a helicopter? Are you serious? He's in a helicopter. He's hanging out of that thing with a cigar in his face. He pulls a Thompson submachine gun up and says, "Watch this," because they said he had a bit of a lisp because of the cigar stub in his mouth. And
who's telling you this story?
I told you, the kid that works that buffet line.
And you bought it.
And let me tell you something, Mr. Henry. You are a funny man on the radio. I'm a reporter.
Yeah, that doesn't mean you just get a say about a guy having a lisp and everything.
What was the lisp? I don't understand.
He said, "Watch this one." And then he opened fire.
Bull crap.
You know what? All four of you, let's see, it's you, Barney, yeah, all four of you, I hope you come down with flesh-eating disease tonight. there.
There's another idiot that can't hang up.
Don, you didn't hang the phone up.
By the way, get me a cheeseburger.
You didn't hang the phone up, Don. Are you there?
That guy walks over here again, I'll kick his ass halfway around the block. I want a cheeseburger. I want one of them shakes, too. I don't know, chocolate.
Don!
What are we doing, 11:30? I want to cover that flesh, the ghoul. Is there a ghoul that's creeping around at the graveyard?
Don!
Hello?
You're on the air.
Oh, you lousy...
And that man has the gall to say we're as dumb as Georgia Clay or whatever.
I mean, that's a guy that he's got problems. Don Berman's got an ego like I've never seen. And for that guy to sit there and talk about the O'Malley, you know, Walter O'Malley machine gunning a polar bear while he runs out there into an open field with a baseball bat, just, you know, clobbering quail. I mean, he must have looked like some kind of a mental case.
I find the guy's out, man. They would put him in a nut bin.
Yeah, what about that?
I don't know. I wasn't with him that day. I would have. I would have called an ambulance. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. More news. We'll get into the Cleveland, the latest on what's happening in Cleveland, and the latest on the, you know, how everybody's doing there. What else you got over there, Margaret?
Neil Patrick Harris, who we love here on the Phil Hendry Show, and Neil Patrick Harris at one time was a fan of this show, I don't know if he is anymore, is going to be hosting the Tony Awards. The Broadway League...
Let me see that.
Get me.
Ow!
Ever do that again, I will geld you alive. The...
All right, well, hold on. We're in a break. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Saying on the air not too long ago, and I don't know, you can help me with this, whether I said it before this story broke or after. I don't think I said it after. I think I said it before this Ohio story broke. I was talking to Dan, and I might have mentioned it to you folks, and I might have mentioned it to you guys, Margaret and Robert, Bud, that there's going to come a time that we can no longer process all of the horror that is being thrown in our faces every day while we're trying to just make our way through life. Not that this is new. Not that this is new to the human experience, but it's new to us because the communication and the processing of information and the need to get information out there. Why? Because there's corporations that have their lives depending upon people paying attention to them, paying attention to their news. So in other words, the reason why we are finding out more and more about the depravity and the horror that exists in this world isn't because there is brand new horror and depravity. It's been with us for eons. But we're finding out about it because our ability to report this stuff and communicate it has gotten so polished, so rapid, so good. Because there's a competition happening right now that's very, very intense in the world of media and in the world of news that is going to see real casualties, is already seeing real casualties in the print media, and is only going to get uglier as information gets shoved out there faster and faster. And by the way, the other casualty is accuracy. Who cares? You know, well, we're sorry, folks. We didn't get that right. You remember that whole thing with CNN? There was a powerboat that was actually the Coast Guard, and they saw it in the river, and CNN couldn't wait to get on the air and say that it was possibly a terrorist, and they didn't get their facts straight, and they had their head parked up their ass so far that they had to open their mouths to see what time of day it was, and...
open their mouths. That must mean on account of the eyes.
All right, okay, bud, take it easy. So, I said on the air, I said, you know, I hate to say this, but I think there's gonna come a time where they're gonna have another incident, whether it's somebody getting killed in a courtroom, where an outraged and disgusted public just decides to, you know, take matters into their own hands. I don't know what. But this thing in Ohio is testing the patience of everybody, man. I mean, it is testing people. It's testing me. I never thought that I would ever have those thoughts in my mind, and I would never act on anything like that. But God Almighty, I looked at this piece of crap, this guy, this Castro, and the stuff these women went through. It's, you know...
So you're saying that you... Oh, man.
Yeah, you better watch it, Mr. Henry.
Oh, take it easy. No, I wouldn't. Thank God I've got better sense than that. But I have to tell you... Anyway, prosecutors on Thursday said they may seek the death penalty against this guy Castro, the man accused of imprisoning three women at his home for a decade. Police charged that he impregnated one of his captives five times and made her miscarry by starving her and punching her in the stomach. God. The allegations were contained in a police report that also said another one of the women, Amanda Berry, was forced to give birth in a plastic kiddie pool. This is right out of a horror film, the likes of which. In any event, Cuyahoga County Prosecutor Timothy McGinty said his office will decide whether to bring aggravated murder charges punishable by death in connection with the pregnancies that were terminated by force. Capital punishment must be reserved for those crimes that are truly the worst examples of human conduct. The reality is we still have brutal criminals in our midst, but have no respect for the rule of law or human life. Well, if this guy doesn't qualify for the death penalty... And before anybody starts turning this into a debate on abortion, we're talking about a guy that forcibly took away a life. And we don't know whether he had the, you know, he forcibly, without the consent of the mother, without anybody, just decided that he was going to take matters into his own hand and terminate these pregnancies. Capital punishment, what's the matter?
Well, you're stumbling. You know, I think you're getting in too deep.
Take it easy. I'm just telling you, it's the kind of thing that pisses people off. It's pissing me off. Capital punishment must... All right, so Castro is a 52-year-old former school bus driver. He's being held on an $8 million bail under a suicide watch in jail where he is charged with rape and kidnapping. He will be charged for every act of sexual violence, assault, and other crimes committed against the women, suggesting the counts could number in the hundreds. Another chilling... among the chilling details of the report... Amanda Berry, now 27, told officers she was forced to give birth in a plastic pool in the house so it would be easier to clean up. Berry said she, her baby, now six, and the two other rescued women had never been to a doctor during their captivity. Here's this poor girl, Michelle Knight, now 32. She said her five pregnancies ended after Castro starved her for at least 2 weeks and repeatedly punched her in the stomach until she miscarried. She also said Castro forced her to deliver Berry's baby under threat of death if the baby died. Knight said that when the newborn stopped breathing, she revived her through mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. All three...
What are you doing?
I'm throwing a... I don't want to read it. I don't want to read it. I don't want to read it. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear about it. I can't, you know... People want to read about it, they're going to read it. I ain't reading that stuff on the air anymore. I'm not even going to talk about that story anymore. You know, there comes a time, man, I get it. The world has got some scumbags in it. And if I start talking about how I feel about this, I'm just going to, it's the totally irresponsible.
All right, let's start with this.
What?
A guy cheats at cards. What do you do?
What are you talking about? What do I do?
You said you would beat, you've seen guys get beat up.
I have. If a guy cheats at cards, I take my money back from him. I'm not going to beat him up. I'm not going to do anything. So you cheated. You won't, you know, say that the money you have, let's split it, you know, however many guys are at the table, split it up. That's that.
And yet you said there'd be guys that kick his ass.
There would be. I wouldn't be one of them. No. Look at, man, that's, you know, that, you know, you're going to beat some guy up that cheats at cards. I personally like to think that you reserve violence for things that really, really, I mean, if the guy is stealing from me in my home, if somebody's busted into my home, if someone's taking food off of my table, I'm in a game of chance. I'm playing cards with somebody, and this guy's cheating. In a way, I've kind of walked into something that I didn't have to. But I'm not saying that I wouldn't want my money back. But violence, I don't think so. However... If someone is actually stealing the fruits of my labors, if someone is stealing from my business, someone's stealing from me, someone's stealing, yes, then absolutely. Cops better get there first.
So you would beat them up?
Beat them up? That's not the half of it. However, I'm not talking about that right now. You know.
Well, you were talking about Don Berman with a baseball bat.
That guy took a baseball bat to quail, okay? And he claims that Walter O'Malley machine gunned a polar bear, and you know, just never mind. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. It's getting weird. It's getting weird by the minute. Here, the world famous Phil Henry Show. Do we have that man on the line? Roy Biskey is with us from Burlingame, California. And again, folks, I'm not trying to control the flow of information. I'm not trying to keep anything from you. I just can't stand. There are nights I just can't stand it anymore. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to go there. This thing in Cleveland, Ohio, is so beyond the pale. I've never heard of anything. It certainly isn't the most gruesome in terms of just bloodletting. It's not the most gruesome crime we've ever heard of, but it's macabre and it's sad. And so, Roy, let's get Mr. Biskey on the line. This is a gentleman from where?
From Burlingame, California. Here he is, Mr. Biskey. Yeah.
Mr. Biskey, I think we lost him. Is he there? Mr. Biskey, how are you?
Hello, Phil.
How are you, sir?
Well, I'm very good, and thank you for having me on your program.
Okay, what can we do for you?
Well, Phil, I'm with a neighborhood council in Burlingame, California, and I don't know if you're familiar with Burlingame. We're a few miles outside of the San Francisco, the city of San Francisco in the East Bay.
I am. I'm familiar with your town.
Well, then, if you're familiar with Burlingame, you're familiar with the fact that we are a no-nonsense town. We're known as a city that has produced a great many veterans. We're known as a city that is a home to some of the high-tech that is currently helping to revive the economy of our country. We're also the home of people who are, as I said, no nonsense, so we don't take any stuff from anybody. And the reason why I bring all this up, Phil, is because we are honoring Charles Ramsey tonight here in Burlingame, California, and we think we should.
Charles Ramsey, the man who rescued the ladies.
Yes, sir, the man that rescued those young women in Cleveland. And we're honoring him because in Burlingame, California, we take note of people that are selfless, that put the well-being of other people ahead of their own, and we feel that they need that kind of notoriety.
Well, I think you're right. I agree with you. And it's good to have to talk to you and to know that there are some people that are taking note. I think everybody has kind of fallen in love with the guy.
Well, let me tell you that we've done more than just fall in love with Charles Ramsey. As everyone knows, Mr. Ramsey is a McDonald's hamburger fan, from what we've read. And tonight, Phil, in Burlingame here in our particular neighborhood council, which is the northeastern part of our neighborhood, we're enjoying Big Macs from McDonald's, and we're having a bit of a Big Mac-a-thon. It's part of a festival or festivities that will continue on through the weekend. Now, here is my challenge to your listeners out there. If you have a small town in the United States and you're similar in size, we've got about 45,000 people here, Phil, in the northern part of Burlingame.
Okay.
And if people want to, in a very, very playful and in a spirit of camaraderie, challenge us to a Big Mac eating contest, then keep track of the Big Macs because we're on a Big Mac-a-thon right now. We're not going to stop eating Big Macs here in our neighborhood council until Charles Ramsey tells us to stop. And the reason why we're doing that is we want to emphasize that a man like Charles Ramsey, who has the courage to help save girls who are in dire danger, this is the kind of a man that we need leading us, I think, in our society.
I agree.
And so to prove that we want a man like that leading us, to prove that we are willing to sublimate, if you will, our own egos, we are going to eat these Big Macs, which is Charles Ramsey's favorite hamburger, and we're going to continue eating them until Mr. Ramsey himself directs us to stop. Now, the challenge of that, Phil...
How is he going to know that you're eating them?
That is the challenge, and that's why we're calling you and other media. We hope that the word will get to Mr. Ramsey, that he'll say, well, these are people that are honoring me with their Big Mac, with a Big Mac, and I'm going to now tell them you can stop eating. And
not to be funny, but what if he doesn't ever tell you to stop?
Then we're going to keep on eating these Big Macs. This is a very, very serious... Number one, you've got a situation that three women could have been killed, not to mention the little girl. This is very serious. So we're showing that we're serious. We're eating Big Macs.
Now, how many of you are there, sir?
Well, I'm sorry, what did you say?
How many of you are there?
There are five of us, myself, Tom Tompkins, Eric Minert is with us. These are all just neighbors of mine. One of them I work with here. Sal Fidelia and Jerry Teen and myself, Roy Biskey. I work with Jerry Teen. We work at the we work over there at the Concreative, which is the mud. We do concrete construction.
Okay, and so you guys are all there eating the Big Macs?
We are, Jerry. You got how many of you got? We went out tonight and we got quite a few of them. And they're right now, I guess we've eaten maybe 35 or 40 between the five of us. I can tell you that I'm not very comfortable right now. We've eaten quite a few of these, but we're going to keep eating them and keep eating them and keep eating them until we're told to stop eating them by Charles Ramsey and only Charles Ramsey.
All right, now this is starting to take on a little bit of, it's worrying me a little bit.
Why are you saying that? This is interesting, because somebody else had said the same thing to us. Why are you saying that?
I'm worried because it sounds like an obsessive, it sounds a little dangerous. You guys are going to keep on eating. In other words, it's not just a stunt.
No, sir, it's not a stunt, no.
All right, but you guys are eating these Big Macs, and you're going to keep on eating these Big Macs until you're directed to stop by Charles Ramsey.
Yeah, and the reason, Phil, that we say directed to stop is because we feel that Charles Ramsey is the leadership quality that this country so desperately needs. I admit that he's not the most, well-spoken man. I admit that he's not the most well-dressed man. But his morality and the courage that he backs his morality with is exactly what our country needs. And so we'll eat these Big Macs.
Well, why are you eating Big Macs and then waiting for him to tell you to stop when it's very, very possible he'll never hear about you guys?
Well, again, we're talking to the national media. What, Jerry? Yeah, Jerry Teen, who's here and is one of my coworkers at Concreative, Jerry is saying that the national media is the entity that we want to have get the message out. Now, we also feel that Charles Ramsey is of the kind of man that he's going to know that we are eating these, that we are here eating this, and we will continue to eat it until he tells us to stop, to put it down, and to get away from the food. And we feel he'll know this.
How do you know he's going to know this?
Well, I believe, to be honest, Phil, I believe that exceptional people pick up on information in the environment. Information in the environment. It's something that I've studied for quite some time since the internet became so readily available. I decided to lose myself late at night in a basement and begin to write manifestos about how information can come to us by way of the ether. The ether. I'm not saying that ether as in the gas that will make you laugh. I'm not saying either, as in either you give me the money or else. Ether, the ether. And I believe information can be brought to us by way of the ether. Okay? And I think that Mr. Ramsey on the air currents will pick up on the information that we are eating the Mac. The Big Mac, I should say.
All right. Now, I want to say something to you here, Roy, and I'm going to try to be as... Yes, Margaret. I have Margaret Gray with me.
Yeah, Ms. Gray, hi.
Yes, how are you? I think that what you're saying bespeaks an imbalance in your thinking. I want you to tell me something.
No, that's no. I knew you'd say that. No, it's not.
No, I want you to tell me something honestly. Have you been evaluated by a psychiatrist?
No, I don't need a psychiatrist. No, I don't. No, I don't. And
well, look, do you mind if I...
No, if you're going to go down that road, we can conclude the conversation very quickly and very easily. No fuss, no muss. I will simply put the phone down, walk into the other room, pick up the .45 that I have laying on the bed in there, and blow my brains out. Is that what you're asking? Because...
No, hold on, sir. No, I'm not.
Because I'm willing to do that.
Hold on. No, I'm not. No, no. You're simply... I was questioning how you figure Charles Ramsey's going to know that you want him to call and tell you to stop eating Big Macs.
I will say it again for you, sir. I will say it again for you, sir. Charles Ramsey will know, because exceptional men know when there is an act taking place, either at their own behest or at the behest of a third party. And when I originally wrote the manifesto, I said, I pray, and we put our faith into the hands of Ramsey, that he will call at the anointed hour and tell us to quit eating these Big Macs, to stop it and stop it now. Stop it and stop it now. These are the messages.
I don't like you saying you're going to go into the other room there and blow your brains out.
I was simply saying that as a way of controlling the conversation. I have no intention of doing that.
Oh, thank God. You scared me half to death.
But if you try to hijack the conversation again, I can tell you it's a very... I'll think about it.
Well, then you were serious.
No, I was only kidding.
Then why did you say you'd think about it?
Because I'm saying I'll think about it, I'm not going to do it. I'll sit and I'll think, do I want to blow my brains out? No, I do not.
So you don't have any intention?
I didn't say that either.
You said that you'll think about it and come to the conclusion that you won't do it.
Yeah, now. But if you keep tightening my jaws and bothering me in the manner that you're doing, Mr. Henry, and...
Well, you're trying to blackmail me into not doing my job, sir.
Oh, your job. Your job. Your job. You people.
Oh, this man is...
Yeah.
What's that? What's that, mother? This man's what, mother? Mother?
What are you calling her mother for?
Who's the one that's... I just heard a frog or something. What is that?
That's Bud Dickman.
A what?
Why are you calling her mother?
Hey, shut up.
No, I'm not going to shut up. I'm on a radio.
Shut up, I said.
He will not shut up, sir.
And you too. I want silence. I want silence. If I don't have silence... I can't hear Ramsey, and I need to know.
You keep eating those Big Macs.
Shut up.
Don't you tell me to shut up. Keep eating the Big Macs until your stomach explodes.
I love how women think. You really believe that that's going to happen. You don't know the Ramsey, and you don't know my own personal ability to expand and enlarge my internal organs if need be. What a wonderful woman. You're a delightful woman. You don't know anything about the mental ability to enlarge the internal organ, do you?
You are mentally ill, sir.
Oh, that feels good. Oh, please do it again. Please do it again.
Okay, I'm hanging up on you.
No, please have her say I'm mentally ill.
You're mentally ill.
Yeah. Woo!
You just had a gasm, didn't you?
What? I love you, son. You're delightful in the imbecility that you bring to my life. You bring such an imbecility to my life. Isn't that right, Mr. Henry?
Yeah, I'm going to put you on hold now, Roy.
You do that. Put me on hold. Please, hold.
You know what that is? That guy's a crank caller.
No, man, I talked to him before. It's kind of weird.
Well, then why didn't you tell me?
Well, he wasn't that strange. He just had strange ideas.
I think he's a crank call. I think he knows what he's doing.
I don't know.
We'll be right back. We're going to take a break. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth.
Did he have a
he's
gasm?
A bitch. The that Phil
like
Henry
me.
Show.
I understand that. All right. So your name is Roy, and I'm going to let you go, Roy. And you have a good evening.
Okay. And again, my thanks to yourself, Mr. Henry. And remember, that Santa Claus, though he may not be real, you know and I know that Santa Claus is a spirit, and we so very often do we denigrate the power of spirit.
Absolutely right. And with that...
All right, Mr. Hendry, with that, a very thank you to everyone, and thank you for understanding what our project and what our mission is truly about. And I thank you, Mr. Hendry.
I thank you very much, Roy, for calling. I'm sorry we had the misunderstanding.
No. I'm never sorry for misunderstandings, because do you know why I'm never sorry for misunderstandings, Mr. Hendry?
Why is that?
Because... Hold on. Oh, look at that.
Okay, Roy, gotta go.
Oh, boy, you should see what's on the television right now, Mr. Hendry. Oh, that's so wonderful. It's onyx. Do you know what onyx stone is, the black stone? A man lined his swimming pool with it. It's a black swimming pool. Look at that, Mother. Mother? My mother is here. And yet she isn't. And when I say that, people will say, Norman Bates. You remember the old movie?
Yeah. Okay. Your mother's there, though, right?
Well, who knows? Of course she's not. No, she's not. But I speak to her as I'm... Do you speak to your mother?
I'm going to tell you right now, I got to go, Roy, okay?
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, okay. Okay. And you'll be in touch.
Oh, yeah, we will be in touch.
Oh, very good, Mr. Hendry. Well, everyone out there in Radio Land, I'm Roy Biskey, and I know how to fly. Do you? I'll see you later.
So...
And you're calling the...
Well, I'm not calling the cops, but the medical services have been alerted. We got his address.
All right, but do they use the police?
Sometimes, yeah.
Dad, you're going to have to get a cop, too.
I mean, I think the guy's crackers enough to have...
You can't sign the papers, though.
What do you mean? I can't? No, I'm not. I don't want to sign the papers.
Well, so who signs the papers on the guy?
I don't know. Look, they can hold him for 72 hours, you know.
Yeah, but then who signs the papers?
Why are you interested in who signs the papers?
Because it's kind of cool. You could say, we're thinking about marketing it. You know, Phil Hendry, the guy that signed the papers on a guy.
You're gonna use that in my radio show.
We had a thought about it, yes.
That is pretty good, Mr. Hendry.
What is so good about Phil Hendry, the guy that signed the papers on a guy?
Well, we'll get... What's the name? Roy Biskey?
Yeah, Roy Frisky. Roy Frisky.
No, Roy Biskey.
Nah, I think it's Frisky.
Well, you're wrong. It's Biskey, okay?
Okay, just because... What, you think you're the only person that's not mentally deranged?
No, I just know what the guy's name was that I was talking to. And no, I'm not going to sign the papers on the guy.
I think it is a very good... I don't want to take advantage of a man's misfortune, but if we leak it to the press that you signed the papers on a guy going into a nut bin, then it's Phil Hendry, the guy that'll sign the papers on you every night, blah, blah, blah.
I just don't like it, you know?
Ah, Mr. Hendry, Mr. Biskey, he won't know the difference at all.
It doesn't make any difference whether he knows the difference. I don't like the idea of using this. I just,
Oh, you know what? You're a real pain in the ass. If there wasn't a guy that we were talking to tonight that was crackers, and I just came up with the idea of saying, Phil Hendry, he'll sign the papers on you, you'd love it, wouldn't you?
Not necessarily. I don't think it's all that funny.
Yeah, but it is now.
No, it isn't. All right, I don't care. Let's not talk about it, because guess what? The eventuality has not arrived. If the day ever comes where we're going to do an outdoor campaign with billboards...
Well, you just might, Phil, because you're moving into a new phase of your career. There's an awful lot of people that are interested in you, and if you can get some outdoor out of this...
You know, outdoor advertising, it ain't what it used to be, man.
The old outdoor, it ain't what it used to be.
Will
you quit it? You guys are like a couple of morons dancing around a campfire or something. The old outdoor ain't what it used to be.
Well, why do you say that?
People are not using outdoor campaigning and radio the way they used to. We're doing a lot more advertising. You know, there's cross-promotion, using the internet, using websites. That's my thing, okay? And I don't want to even talk about it because I'm not going to be signing the papers on Roy Biskey.
Well, we'll get a monitor and find out. I just got off the phone with a medical evacuation service, and they're going to chopper him out.
Yeah.
What do you mean, chopper him out?
I asked if they're going to do that.
Well, is that him there? Here's the man right now, Phil. This is the doctor that they were talking to This is a Dr. A Dr. Norin, or a Dr. Norvin. Is that it, Dr. Norvin? Dr. Norin, this is Phil Hendry of The Phil Hendry Show.
Really?
Dr. Norvin, this gentleman that we just referred to you, Roy Biskey, do you need somebody down there to sign papers on him?
No, there's no need for that. Not yet, but we're wondering if he has relatives. Of course, we would want to speak with him, but...
Is it a 72-hour hold?
Yeah, that's right. State mandated a 72-hour hold on anyone who is a danger to himself or other individuals. We're not sure yet whether this man constitutes a danger to anyone, but we have we've carved out a preliminary examination.
What do you think is going on with him?
Well, he seems to be delusional. There's a bit of a hyperactivity. I don't think there's anything too dangerous. I don't think he's dangerous so much as he's confused, and he's got a... he had a hypodermic needle that was hanging from his arm, from the back of his arm.
A hypodermic needle?
Yeah, he had a hypodermic needle hanging from the back of his arm, and he had a... it looked to be some makeup, and I asked him what it was. He said it was a Star Trek makeup that he had worn, and he'd been wearing it for the last half a year. It was congealed to his face.
Star Trek makeup?
It was a Klingon. I asked him what it was. He says he's a Klingon. So
he had a hypodermic needle hanging out of the back of his arm.
He had on underwear, black socks, sandals, Klingon makeup, and he had cut the crotch out of the briefs that he was wearing. So
Phil,
I can tell you that it scares me.